Welcome to the podcast.
Potters.
Oh, hang on. That was, were you doing, what song were you doing? To the tune of.
That's just my generic opener singer.
No, because that was to the tune of the Team America or something, wasn't it?
It did sound like it. Yeah.
It is something.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant. No,
it's not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You know what it is? Are we allowed to mention former radio host?
Yeah.
It's Teenage Mullet Fury, American Rosso song.
Is it?
Oh, Teenage Mullet Fury.
They took that from something too, though.
Yeah, they didn't make that up.
No. welcome to the pod today. Geez, it was a long show.
It was a lot. Yeah.
It's actually 12:30 in the afternoon, but that's fine.
So we heard about breastfeeding at work.
That was fun.
That's always good to throw the cat amongst the pigeons. Mm. Doesn't that light up the boards?
We love talking about breastfeeding.
The elf on the shelf, we found out, is a spy and a rort.
Creepy.
Yeah, it is a bit creepy.
Yeah.
Scary ritual that frightens children into a good behaviour.
Although we didn't get, I'd like to know more about the fact that your parents, Amy, in order to frighten you into being good for Christmas, they said that the birds were watching for Santa.
Yeah, so that the eyes of the birds were Santa's cameras.
Yeah, like a being John Malkovich sort of scenario where Santa can go into the mind of any
Correct.
Bird he wishes.
And so anytime I'd be misunderstood, like, because you can find a bird when you're outside. So when I'm misbehaving, magpie. Sparrow.
What a nightmare at the
seagull.
What a nightmare at the zoo.
Santa was always watching. Always watching. Santa had birds. My parents were baby boomers. They didn't give crap.
Their
parenting was shocking. If you're a kid of a baby boomer, you have some damage.
Yep. Yeah, you also had homemade. I want to talk about this maybe tomorrow.
Homemade everything.
Stuff.
Yeah,
I love
the idea
of homemade. So if your parents home, oh no, we'll save it for on air.
Save it. Don't blow content, mate. Stuff. Enjoy the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. If you missed anything, go to todayfm.com.au. Back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with Em, Grant and Ed.
It is bang on 6 o'clock. Good morning to you, Em. Good morning to you, Grant.
Good morning, delicious legends. you're struggling with the Grant thing.
I don't know.
How
mate.
Hard is it, mate?
Grant.
Really hard.
Why do you want to say Grant? Because you're fancy.
No, I don't say dance.
Do you sip tea with your little finger up in the air as well?
No, he's listening up. The top button of your polo shirt's undone.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, you're
a renegade.
This is crazy, Ed. This is Ed's out of the chair.
Well, this is because I went out. I had a date last night. Me and we all had a little drink.
I was with you.
No, we had a drink.
Dude, it was
you
not
didn't
a date.
Think it was a date?
This is really awkward.
Oh, okay. Man, I am misreading signals. Ridiculous.
You really are. Do that top button back up. Stop flirting. I don't want to see a hint of cleavage from you.
No, after we all had a lovely drink together, young Jack, Lucky Jack, who's working on our show together, I said, all right, look, mate, you know, we're sort of heading back the same way. And he said, yeah, I haven't eaten. I said, I haven't eaten either. And he said, I said, all right, what do you think? He goes, I think I might get some, takeaway Hungry Jack's.
What?
Which is delicious. But I said, nah, come on, we can do better than that. So I took him out to the Burger Project.
Oh. Did you have a burger for dinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a burger for dinner.
Did you like it? Did it hold up to your high expectations of burgers? Because I know you're a burger man.
Aren't you super healthy?
Well, that's what I thought.
Look, aren't you, like, bringing in meals? Like...
But my wife is not. You know, she's working, so she's not with us. And
you're off the chain.
I had three spicy chicken wings too.
Okay. Wow.
So you did say your only purpose for training in life is just so you can smash burgers at will.
Okay. Yes, burgers are my life.
Oh, no, that's okay. Mama's off the chain. Okay, terrific.
Good show today. Hey, hot. 38 in the west today, 28 in the city. So we'll keep you across as it starts to heat up. 10 grand with Alpha Bucks, you know that. We're going to talk about breastfeeding at work.
Oh, that's going to go really well.
What do you mean?
That's not going to upset anyone.
I don't reckon it will.
Whenever you talk about breastfeeding in public, it really remains calm.
It's quite an emotive topic for a lot of people, I know. It's very hard to get people to agree. It's a sensitive issue.
I've underestimated this.
Oh, he's new.
Mm,
you don't know about... Oh, shh, don't even... I'd be fine. Yeah.
Get ready, strap in.
And accents, bad accents. Remember you were talking, Em, about the bad accent in the Australian accent
in Pitch Perfect 3 from John Lithgow.
Yeah, I've gone through the tapes and found all the bad Aussie accents in movies.
I like it very much.
Today FM, let's do this. Oh,
let's try that again.
Yeah.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
No, you can never do that again.
Why?
No, where? But it's you do your little burn atomic things. I'll do my little openers. All right, we've all got our lanes to stay in.
No, no, but you're
crossing the mind, button boy.
You've got the opener, Grant. We need a ruling on this because I'm throwing to him who's singing the opener.
Yep.
It is my dream to always throw to myself.
Oh, okay, no worries. Yeah, okay. It's fine.
Today we're doing what's a superior nickname.
Because Grant Denny doesn't have one.
No.
And well, I was calling you Dennis.
Yeah.
But you two think it sounds like Dennis. Dennis.
Well, it took me 2/3 of the first show to realise who you were talking about. I kept looking over my shoulder going.
Dennis Lilly had wandered in.
Didn't realise. Is Dennis Rodman here? Does he think I look like Dennis Rodman? Is that what he said?
Oh, definitely. You guys could do that movie Twins. That would be an amazing remake.
Be good.
Yeah.
I'd love you and Dennis Rodman going to North Korea.
Just hanging out with Kim Jong-un.
The movie that writes itself.
This thing writes itself.
So just strapped to a missile.
What has been your nickname over the years?
Well, I've only really had one nickname and I never liked it. It was given to me. It was when I was racing Ute, so I was sponsored by a pet food company. So my nickname was Mad Dog. And it was given it to me. And
I'm the most un-mad dog person.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah. I'm more like a little yappy chihuahua, not a mad dog.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
You are. You're a lap poodle.
Yeah.
Here comes the lap poodle.
You imagine someone called Mad Dog being on a Harley with, you know, face tats and working for the bikies.
Being mad, not like your good self who is affable.
Thank you.
Affable dog just doesn't have the same ring to it. I was thinking GD, that's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, simple. I don't mind it.
Double D.
I call him the Glamour Bogan.
That's good.
That's not catchy though, is it?
It's long, but it's fun.
And actually accurate.
Glambogs.
Glambogs.
I get called Roosh. TV's and radio's Tommy Little started that.
Bruce.
But no, I tried to start a nickname all through primary school. Actually, I worked a 5-year campaign.
Did you?
I went through a phase where I wouldn't answer to anything but it. Jet.
Because you're a fast runner.
I'm a very fast runner.
Oh.
And so, like, I would get home from school and I'd be sitting there and she'd be like, Em, how was your day at school? Em.
No Em here.
Jet. Oh, it's great, Mum. It never caught on. It's really hard to start your own nickname. What? I think it's the hardest thing to do ever. Like, even worse than brain surgery.
You can't do it because when I worked on the street team, when I first started at Today FM on the street team, there was a guy who was, his name was Chris, and he said to me at one point, because he was from Cronulla, he would say, no, everyone calls me Shark Boy.
Do they, Chris? Do they, mate?
He's from Cronulla.
And I said, hey, do they?
Yeah.
He goes, Sharky for short. Yeah. I said, hang on, so you're abbreviating the nickname.
So Australian.
Yes, he goes, yeah, just call me Sharky. So I went, all right, Sharky. And then someone else, I did another shift, because, you know, you went 2x2. It's like the police. You always got to have a partner.
Yeah.
And we were driving along somewhere. I think we were in Parramatta. And I turned to the person next to me in the ute. And I said, hey, do you? And he goes, did Chris make you call him Sharky? I go, yeah.
Well, we want nicknames this morning.
Good nickname.
Have you got one?
No.
Would you like one?
So surprising.
What do you mean, no, so surprising?
Because you will always be Ed. And that is it.
That's right. 13-10-60. Do you have a great nickname? Have you got a mate with a great nickname?
Oh, I want to hear great classic Aussie ones.
Classic Aussie nicknames.
Yeah, like Chook.
Yeah.
I love Chook.
Love Chook.
And if you call Chook, why are you called Chook? Mm. Went to school with a guy called Chook because he had a long neck.
Yeah. Oh,
well, that's
a bit chooky.
Plus, like a physical trait.
Everywhere he went and you thought of a chicken, it was uncanny.
Wow. Yeah.
So okay,
not giraffe, not that long a neck.
No, let's not get silly. No.
And why everybody in the country who's got red hair is called Bluey?
I know the answer to that. I'll give it to you after.
13-10-60. Today we're playing for R&B Vine Days. You could get yourself to Bimbadjin, the Hunter Valley. Tickets are at Ticketmaster, but you'll be able to go along if you tell us what's the superior nickname. 13-10-60. On 13-10-60, we're playing What is the Superior M? And today it is...
Superior nickname, guys. In Australia, we love a nickname.
Yeah, sure
more do. Than any other country,
but,
I reckon
you're
that's
right.
true. But Grant Denyer, who is Australia's sweetheart, you do not have a nickname. Through your sunrise years, they didn't give you a nickname.
No. Mad Dog. Mad Dog was it and I hated it.
Stop trying to make Mad Dog a thing.
Mad Dog is no thing.
Stop trying to get Mad Dog.
I get like the little guy all the time little kind of tributes like that, but
what?
never a name that's kind of stuck other than my initials. And I don't think initials are a nickname, do you?
No.
That's an abbreviation really, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay. I think Mad Dog's happening.
I might go with Mad Dog. Mad Dog Daniel.
In our promo reel, he called himself the Big Dog.
He did, which I like.
Sure.
Richard from Camden Park. Richard, give us your... Hello, mate. What's the nickname story?
First up, got to say the survey says, thank God you're here to start my weekend.
Hey!
Good. Oh, that's nice. Nice. That's
you got the tough answer, my friend.
And said, thank God you start my weekend, so he combined all of us.
Yeah, no, I heard
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's done extremely well.
Before, good morning anyway, first, before I get into my nickname, I've got a combined unit name for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I like that, a fusion. Yeah, go.
Right, but now I'm going to call you the Today FM G team. So you are the whole unit, you are the G, R&B Fridays.
G unit.
G-double-E, you got Grant, Ed and M.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
He's thought it through, mate.
No, Richard's done some things. Richard's already got himself some movie tickets. It's only up.
Even got to the nickname.
No, it's only up from here, Richard.
What do you got?
Yeah, look, my wife and I, we both call each other Wing.
Wing.
Why?
Wing. Well, when I first got with her, she started nicknaming me Wing. So then, you know, I sort of took her under my wing, and now I've just reversed it on her and started calling her Wing the same way.
Right. So it's like a dual nickname. So you sort of got each other's back. You're each other's wing person. That's you're nice. Sort of in it together. Yeah. And have you got tattoos of wings? I bet you do.
No tattoos, unfortunately.
Come on, Richard. Get it done. Thank you, Rich.
I pegged you wrong. Lawrence. Say, Lawrence.
Morning, Em, Grant and Ed. How are you going?
Good. Darling, what's your superior nickname? What you got?
Okay, my superior nickname is... The influences behind myself liking McDonald's when I was young and I was tubby. Mm. And you have to say it with enthusiasm. Mm. You say, Fat Bear!
Fat bear. But it's said in a nice way. Hey, it's Fat Bear.
If as long as it's got an upward inflection at the end, it's all positive.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you obese tummy piece.
Hey.
I'm saying it in a nice voice.
No. It's like Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh was a more rotund bear, and everybody loved Winnie the Pooh.
Lawrence, are you still...
Fat Bear?
Does the name still apply?
Yeah, it does.
Thank you, Fat Bear. Good on you, Fat Bear. Nice to have you with us.
Ronnie from Marrickville.
Morning, guys.
Hello, Ronnie.
What's your name?
Well, not my nickname. One of the guys I work with. Absolute legend. Doing it for you. He's the GOAT. The greatest of all time.
Yeah, I do like the GOAT.
That's really taken off.
It's got to be how you say it. You mean the GOAT? Great bloke, greatest of all time. But when he stuffs something up, which is all too often, you mean the GOAT, that idiot.
Yeah, that's true, because in America, the GOAT means the opposite. The GOAT means the person that's stuffed up, so it can be used both ways.
He always thinks he's a legend, but he's sometimes the GOAT.
Yeah, that's good.
GOAT.
Yeah, that's good, Ronnie.
It's kind of like the F word, how it's got multiple meanings. You can use it in so many different styles and ways.
I use it as
for
a
purposes.
Noun.
I've noticed.
Yeah. Clayton. Hey, Clayton.
How are we, guys?
Good, mate. What's your nickname?
Scruffy.
Why Scruffy?
AKA, I grow the hair in the beard for a whole year, and I go in shape for a cure, mate.
Oh, mate.
There you go.
Oh,
you'd be very scruffy.
Scruffy.
Yeah, mate, I'll be hitting these guys up this year for a sponsorship, and, we'll see how we go.
Okay, mate.
We're up for it. No worries, Clayton. We can do that. I reckon we can do that. Ben from Hornsby. Benny.
How you going?
Yeah, good. What's your superior nickname, mate?
Yeah, man, we used to have a guy we played rugby with, and his name was The Clock.
Why is that?
He had one short arm.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Delicious. Yeah. Redheads are called bluey because in the 1860s, when they're on the gold fields, their skin was so pale that the Aussies would say that you could see their blue veins.
Oh.
I am Mrs. Fat.
That's why.
That's pretty good. You can't start singing stings for yourself.
Again.
I feel like that's a bridge too far. No.
Have we just met?
Ryan from Sutherland. How you doing?
Good, yourself?
Yeah, really well. Love to hear your name. What is it?
It's Stanley.
Now, why Stanley?
Why?
Because I cut my hand open with a Stanley knife one day.
Now, that is what I'm talking about.
I love a name that comes from an incident of near death.
Because that's the other one about, goat. You know, you do something to one goat and everyone calls you...
And use it...
No.
Wrong.
No. Who's our winner? It's got to be Ben, doesn't it? The clock?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, totally. Ben from Hornsby. You win today. R&B Fridays presents R&B Vine Days. Boys to Men, TLC and more. Saturday, Feb 3 at Bimbadgin in the Hunter Valley. Tickets are at Ticketmaster. You got yourself a double pass. Well played.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Today FM.
I just before Christmas found out what Elf on the Shelf is.
Elf on the Shelf.
I'm still in the dark.
Well, to me, it was like an American thing that I didn't want to emotionally invest in. It was too hard to understand.
Christmas thing. Okay.
And then my youngest daughter, surprise, found out what it was, watching some American kid movie.
Right.
A Christmas movie. The Elf on the Shelf is this little guy that comes in a box. It comes from a 2005 children's picture book. And basically the premise is the elf sits around various places in the house and watches the kids' behavior and dobs on if they're little shits to Santa.
Wow.
Super creepy.
So like a little elf doll.
He's a little elf doll. Look at him. He's got little rosy cheeks. Oh, yeah. He's quite camp. He's a little punsy thing, isn't he? He's got his knees up, a cross toe.
He's just so. But he's a spy.
He's a spy for Santa.
The Elf on the Shelf is a dead set spy.
But he's like, someone did call him a creepy, passive-aggressive doll. And he is, because he's sitting there smiling, but he's actually about to ruin your life.
Yeah, because he's doing a dob on the kids if they do something wrong.
Yeah, and funny, actually, Pink, she got a letter from Willow, Pink the singer.
Yeah.
My friend Pink. And Willow had written a letter and just said, can you send this to Santa? And the letter said, Santa, I'm very worried about Elf. He hasn't moved in 3 days. And Pink just wrote parenting file because she forgot to move around the house.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, mate, kids have it so easy. They only get watched nowadays for 2 weeks by a doll.
Yeah.
I had 80s parents, right?
What'd they do to you?
We had birds.
What?
We had birds.
Oh, every bird in the sky was Santa's bird?
Had terrifying birds. Every bird, everywhere. And my mum had ripped this out. And no, just like 1 week, January 1, the birds were on. The birds were on a watch for 12 months. Like, these kids only get 1 month, and that was it.
So she launched a 12-month campaign on you using the birds.
Mate, it was like, the bird. Look, there's a bird. If I was outside and there was a magpie in a tree, there was a M. It's a bed.
Pull it in.
But my friend winds up, she says, she told the kids, this is so brilliant, that the smoke detectors in the house have a direct link to the North Pole.
Wow, that is high tech.
In the bedrooms of the kids.
No.
The smoke detectors. That is next level savvy.
What a great way to make kids not trust smoke detectors. It's a really conflicting message.
So every time they're in their bedrooms, like these kids, it's amazing.
If you're outside of that venue, because there's nothing worse than when your little one starts playing up in public.
What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, you know how, like, if you know, we were in a coffee shop the other day and little Scout, the 2-year-old, was like just running wild.
I won't have it because I'm her number one fan.
Well, she's gorgeous, but she has her limits. Like, sometimes she falls over the line. She was like literally just pushing prams over and knocking coffee out of people's hands. Like, she's just gone.
She's had it.
Nuts.
She's falling down. She's Michael Douglas.
And I'm on my own.
She's had it.
I'm on my own, so I don't quite have the repertoire of skills in which that my wife does have to deal with these incidences, because I'm not as match fit. Mm. So I've just pulled out the, you know, Santa is listening. So Santa has ears that can hear all the time. Kind of like God, he's always there. So no matter where you are, what you're doing, you've got something that you can pull out.
So do you sort of look at the sky and talk to Santa then?
Yeah, you go, Santa, are you there? Can you hear this? Are you seeing what I'm seeing right now?
It's no different to the premise of God, so I'm all for this.
Now, safe to say at the moment, though, the two big events on the telly are the Big Bash on your lovely Channel 10 Family Feud every night. My God, what a juggernaut. But also...
Is it even on at the moment?
What was that?
It's Family Feud on at the moment.
Yeah, 8:30 every morning, as well as 6 p.m. each night.
8:30. Who is watching Family Feud at 8:30?
Hey, sometimes you need a double dose every day. Back off.
Yes, you do. But the tennis is on. The Kyrgios played last night. Kyrgios won. And it was an odd match because a lot of the stuff that was going on, which is normally around Kyrgios, him having tantrums and stuff, it wasn't. Grant, you stayed up and watched it.
It was fascinating. So much stuff was going down. It was full on. And I got to say, I like him. Like, I know a lot of people have lots of different opinions about him.
Of course I love him.
Yeah, of course you do.
It was chaos out there, and you're sitting on the edge of the seat just wondering when he was going to blow up and lose his mind.
If you had to give your first highlight, what would your first highlight be?
First, the microphones broke down on the umpire's chair, so no one could hear him or the calls or anything. Jeez. So that really disrupted the players.
Wasn't the umpires had a tough night last night? Have a go at this.
Oh, that nearly decapitated the chair umpire.
I didn't see
it. Not intentionally. It was a wonderful serve, and Troitsky just was late getting it.
Did the ball...
Troitsky?
Well, I would say Victor Troicki, but it's Troicki.
It's Victor Troicki.
He hit this shot at full steam that went straight into the side of the scone of the umpire, like just point blank, bang.
Yeah.
It was beauty, and it ricocheted like straight out the roof. It was that hard. It was superb.
Okay, and then there was a heckler?
Yeah, some dude who clearly was just trying to make a name for himself and just get into some headlines. Some loser just wanders down to the kind of front row of the crowd, holds his phone up, sort of just filming himself, and then just starts sort of yelling.
Hang on, this guy.
There's a guy down there with his camera right now who's standing actually right next to Nick's box and is running up the stairs. He was taking video of himself doing that. So that was...
He's trying to get a selfie video of himself.
A chant going. And I love an Australian. Yeah, he was trying to get a chant going. And an Australian crowd will turn on you at the drop of a hat.
I'm so happy
about
that.
And I'm so proud. Our crowds are good. They're good. They say what I'm thinking.
He took his life into his own hands.
Yeah, exactly.
It was about to, and I thought this is where Nick's gonna lose it now because it was at a critical time in the game. Yeah. It was tight at that particular point.
Yep.
He was starting to slip in his performance, and I thought, here we go.
Was he shouting at the box? You know when he does that thing where he argues with the people in his box as if it's somehow their fault.
Right.
I love
Nick,
when he does.
He
that.
Was quiet. He was calm. He was cool. He was like a boy who was trying to be on his absolute best behaviour for the first time. It looked like a completely different Nick Kyrgios.
Mm.
Yeah, it was tough. A lot of things going on. Had a helicopter above us for like 3 games. Mike wasn't working pretty much the whole match. So yeah, there was a lot of things going on today, and so there was a lot of adversity. We didn't feel like an Australian Open match, but it was a good win.
Adversity.
Yes.
Okay, mate. I know a few people who would argue with that term. I don't want to throw around the term hero too loosely, but I will.
And he said about a helicopter. Yeah. There's a helicopter there. Helicopters aren't that distracting.
No.
No, that's not distracting at all. That's
I don't know what you're talking about. It's great. If anything, I'm more focused.
Because you were saying he couldn't hear the ball. He couldn't hear the ball.
It was a couple of minutes. It was hanging over the top of the court, and he couldn't hear the ball bounce. And obviously, as you're trying to read the play as a tennis player, you kind of take all those little cues to improve your game. And he couldn't hear a thing. So that's when he kind of did politely, reasonably complain that there was a chopper overhead. It might have been a rescue chopper saving a young child's life, but he still complained.
I wonder how Bernie would have handled that. I think Bernard Tomic and a helicopter would have been so great.
It would be.
I miss Bernie.
I miss Bernie as well. Look, Bernard Tomic isn't playing as we know, and when asked the other day why this is going to go down as one of the great grabs of all time, when he lost in the qualifiers. Now, as I've said before, he is going into the jungle. Channel 10's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Yeah.
You think?
Getting paid over $1 million, and I guarantee it, and if he doesn't go in, I will swim a lap of Darling Harbour.
Mm.
And the reason that he's there is because he lost in the qualifiers. This is what he said afterwards.
I just count money, that's all I do. I count my millions. You go do what I did. You go make 13, 14 million. Good luck, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, he's still in the news despite not playing at the Australian Open. And, guys, he's back on the line. Good morning, Bernard Tomic.
Yeah, 15, 17, 1,000 million. Say, it's Bernard here. I'm just counting some millions.
Where are you right now?
I'm just at the ATM checking my balance. Hang on a sec. Yeah, millions, it says. What I do is I leave the receipt there so that when I leave, people come over, and they see the receipt, they see Bernard Tomic, and they go, oh, my God, he's got millions. You know what I mean?
It's a bit noisy there, Bernie.
Yeah, I've also got my money counting machine here. In case the ATM breaks down, just putting a stack in there, it's come up. Yeah, millions. I've actually got a very rigorous counting regime, and sometimes my eyes get tired. You know what? I'm up to 6 millions. So what I want to do is I do some counting, and then I go play a tennis match. I lose that. That takes about 1 minute. And then I go back to counting. 1 million, 17 million. And if my counting machine breaks, I use this thing. It's an abacus.
I'm impressed you know what an abacus is, Bernie.
Oh, shut up, Brucey Bloodiano, wherever you're from. Oh, my God. The abacus is a calculating tool that was used in Europe, China and Russia centuries before the adoption of the Hindu-Arabic numeral system. Everybody knows that. How dumb are you? Hey, listen, I didn't even have to Googlepedia that.
Bernie, cheap little woolly sheep jumping the fence.
Who's that with you?
Two.
Yeah, it's my mate. That's my mate, the Count. Yeah, he's hilarious. He's always counting stuff like me, but he counts dumb stuff like sheep. I count millions. But I tell you, Ed, everywhere we go, people love us. They're always yelling out, oh, Bernie, you're such a Count. Oh, Bernie, why are you always hey, Bernie, why do you act like such a Count?
Okay, Bernie.
And I'm like, hey, keep on, count a million.
Okay, we better move on. Hey, mate, when do you leave for the jungle?
Nah, you can't trick Bernard again. I'm not telling you that I'm going to the jungle today. Oh, no, I did it again. Oh. That's bull. That's bull. You're too tricky. You're like that Mindhunter on Netflix. You're too tricky for me.
Thanks for your time. Millionaire. Thanks for your time, millionaire Ben Atomic.
Oh, boy.
When kids name pets, because, yeah. Grant Tenure.
Yes.
You just casually drop the name of your cavoodle on the show. And if you could just let people sit, you know the name of your dog?
Princess Popping Popcorn is the full name, or Princess Popcorn for short.
And this is when kids attack. This is an example of kids attacking.
Look, it's not what I'm comfortable with, because it obviously makes me feel uncomfortable at the park when I've got to call out her name. I feel it emasculates me, and people look at me funny when I call it out. But the kids love it. That's the most important thing.
Helps you to make new friends. Princess Popping Popcorn, you talking to me?
Yeah.
Sailor?
When did Sailor name the dog?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think that I did?
You're a six-year-old.
Yes.
And so when she was, were there other other names workshopped?
No, we had no choice. It was the first thing that came out of her mouth. And she delivered it to us like she'd thought about it for years.
That's she might fantastic. Have.
Yeah. Princess Popping Popcorn, and there was no moving from it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys were just, you just had to stick with it.
Well, it's her dog, so you're kind of like, look, let her name. We were hoping that if she names it, then there'll be a sense of attachment to the dog that will require her to clean up the poo as well.
And?
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Nah.
The more she loves it, the more work she'll do for the dog, and then we won't have to do as much.
Was she surprised when the princess doesn't pop popcorn, pops something far worse?
Yes.
No, princess. That's not what I asked for.
That's not what I was hoping for.
Come on, princess.
Our producer Kim's, her niece called their dog Chai Latte.
Oh, that's Chai
Latte.
Gorgeous.
I like it when kids go for, kids get a chance to name something. Yeah. And every now and again, they do surprise you and they go for like fairly ordinary names.
Yes.
Now, Benny, who pushes all the buttons here. Benny, what was it? Was it Goldfish?
Yeah, she had Goldfish and she called them Tony and Susan.
It sounds like an 80s sitcom couple.
It sure would.
I love that. That's what we want. 13 10 60, when kids name pets, what did your kid call your pet, or what did you call your pet? It's, either way works.
It's risky.
Yeah. Yeah.
13 10 60, what did the kids name the pet? 13 10 60, this is good fun, Em. The game is...
when kids name pets.
Yep. Yeah.
Because your cavoodle, Grant Denyer, is called
Princess Popping Popcorn. So when you hand over the power to your child, you just never know what you're going to get back.
That's amazing. Excellent. Phoebe and Randwick, good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good on your
feet. What happens when kids name pets? What animal?
Well, I know of a cat named Couscous. And I literally just want to get a cat so I can copy that name. I think it's the dopest name for a cat ever.
Sure, it's not just called Puss Puss and you're hearing it wrong.
No, it's 100% Couscous, because they tried to make it eat Couscous once and it was hilarious.
That's pretty good.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
you eat Couscous once.
Yep.
Okay.
Graydon from Beaumont Hills. Graydon, what's your pet name?
So my son named his fish Deadpool. I want a sheep baby.
What? Say that again.
Deadpool, I want to shoot babies.
As in the Salt and Pepper song.
I want to shoot babies.
Shoot, shoot, that from that song.
That is way less psychotic. I was like, I'm going to put your kid on a watch list.
Yeah. So that's what I heard. I want to shoot babies. Yes.
What's the way? So Deadpool, I want to shoot baby. That's okay. Good. Yeah. Okay.
Much nicer.
So I thought your kid was on the path to prison very, very soon.
Also got a samurai fighting fish called Let's Talk About Sex.
Fantastic. Yeah. Kaz in Seven Hills. Hey, Kaz.
Hey, Em, huge fan of yours.
Ah, oh, thank you. That's so kind. And the guys too, of course.
Yeah, don't hurt the rest of our feelings.
You got a lot to live up to with Harley gone now.
Oh, who? Oh, I don't even know who that name is. What? Who's that?
He's a good man.
What you got for us, Kaz?
My stepson named my cat Fudgy Ninja.
Fudgy Ninja?
What based on, is it sort of nimble and...
Yeah, she can jump pretty high. She can jump about 6 foot.
Where's the fudgy come from?
She's a tortoise shell, so she's tricolour.
Okay, I get it. All right. Personally, I would have put Deadpool last.
Yeah,
we're
so would I.
We're just doing a live critique of the producers out there. I feel like we're going for the best one. Fine, what do I know?
Good. Get more of Today FM Breakfast with Em, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
This is my invention.
It's where she gets to say what she say. Her opinion is free and pretty much on the way.
This is Emtervention.
Emtervention.
So for those for the uninitiated,
this is when a member of any member of the team has maybe just misstepped in life, and it is my job as the mother hen, as the mother of the group, to just go, come on, get back in.
Corrective life surgery.
Correct. Yes. And today's intervention is on Ed Cavalli. What a shock!
But I'm perfect.
No, look like, to be honest, we got some concerns.
Well,
we now you. How quickly have you
turned?
Oh, he
knows where his bread's buttered. Yeah. Don't you worry about that. Listen, in fact, this was interesting. We didn't actually even bring this intervention up.
Who did this?
Your lovely wife. In fact, we'll bring her on now. Tiffany Hall. Hey, Tiff.
Good morning.
Joel, you're a bit cross. You're a bit angry.
Yeah, I am.
Yep.
My husband's cheating on me.
He is cheating on you. There's your headline. Everybody out there, Ed Cavalli cheating on wife Tiffany Hall.
Arnold and I are devastated.
Arnold.
Who's Arnold?
Oh, it's our son.
Yeah.
19-week-old son.
17 weeks 17. Old, yeah. 17 weeks.
Yeah.
And he and I slaved away in the kitchen preparing healthy meals for Ed's first week back at school.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about that, Tiff. We'll take it back. Mm. You were watching the show Instagram Story.
Yes, which and, I love because Ed's never been big on social media. He's not on Instagram, but I'm loving that your show. I can sort of see behind the scenes what my husband's doing.
That's called spying.
And what did you notice your husband, Ed Cavalli, doing?
What did you see?
Well, I saw you in a beautiful dress, Em.
Thanks,
and then the camera panned to my husband with his hand in a white paper bag in which I thought, that does not look like the sober noodles from my TFXO program that I made him for breakfast and put in a little container for him or the zucchini lasagna. And so I messaged
Kieran.
The Today FM Instagram.
Yep.
And I said, what is in that white paper bag? Is that a croissant? And he said, no, it's something worse.
What was it, Ed? Well, tell everyone what you were eating, mate.
What was it, Ed?
What was that?
It was a... What?
What was that?
What was in the bag?
There was
bacon and egg.
It was a bacon and egg white bread sandwich with cheese.
Now, you have a 17-week-old child.
Yes.
You have spent an hour preparing your husband's meals.
More. I spent a whole day in.
Oh, doll.
She's raising a
seven
human.
Different recipes.
Yeah, and you know,
it is stacked the fridge with little containers, and it knows exactly which are his breakfast.
All right, look.
Exactly.
Sorry, before you keep speaking. What? Tiff, I just want to... I mean, he went out for dinner last night, in fact.
Shut
with
up.
Jack. With Lucky Jack. So can we just get Jack on? Lucky Jack, you had dinner with Ed.
Hang on. Now, Jack, let's...
What did he eat?
Let's go through what you...
No, hang on. Jack, just for a second here, let's be very careful. You're in a new job, You're 3 days in and...
He's a gay man, brother. He's on my side.
And someone in the... let's be fair, more senior in the team, has taken you under their wing and said, let's have a chat about you and your life. So be very careful what you go with here.
He knows.
Well, look, I appreciate that you paid. That was really
nice.
That was really nice.
It's because he felt guilty about what
he
was doing.
But it was your suggestion to go out to Burger Project and get a bacon cheeseburger, hot chili chicken wings and fries.
Is that in the Tiffany XO program, Tiff?
No, that is not. No, it's not on Tiff XO. And Ed, you told me that you just went out for dinner and I thought it was like... I thought you were going for healthy meals because we were going to have good energy this year and I was in the kitchen and you were all excited about
You've broken the sacred trust.
Two things have happened here. Two things have happened. You take a young man out for a date, right? The last thing you want is him going blabbing to your wife. That's what we've learned here.
But Ed, you did it to yourself. You had your hand in that white paper bag.
I think that's what we know about egg and bacon rolls. They are the gateway food, mate. It's a slippery slope from there.
And his breakfast has just arrived in the room now, Tiff.
Shut up.
What'd you order this morning?
Banana. I got a banana like you two.
What's in the bag there? What have we got there, Jack? Jack went and got your breakfast.
I got him two because I thought one was a little bit small.
What'd you get
him? That's very greasy.
What's
I can see it coming through the
bacon
paper.
And egg roll.
Oh, bacon and egg wrap again. Oh, well done. Wow. Thanks,
They're out, Ed. They're out. And I'm going to cook you egg and nori veggie rolls if you like a roll.
That sounds fun.
But you're going to do it healthy.
Now you know why he's not on social media. He's leading a secret life that you do not know about.
Thanks, Tiff. You are great.
Do you know what?
You're totally
done. Don't learn from this.
Don't trust anyone.
Have an actual affair.
Just make it count.
It's easier. Yeah. M.
Yes.
So some actual Hello. Entertainment. Something that you've brought to our attention the other day.
Thank God.
Pitch Perfect 3. Mm. And you...
Is a thing.
It's a thing. It's a movie.
Happened to my eyes.
Yes. And
is that the best you could say about it?
Yep.
Yeah. Good. It happened to my eyes.
It was great. Oh, it was a rollicking singing. But
it's what happened to your ears that was concerning, because Rebel Wilson, obviously actual Australian who's in it, and there's someone playing her father in it, John Lithgow, who's not Australian.
Yeah, sure, they could have hired an Australian person.
They could have.
Why would you?
Yeah, there isn't, because there's no Australians in Hollywood.
So none. No options. Oh, yeah, and he had a crack at our accent, and he, no.
This is how it went.
And my next phone call was to a dialect coach, because I had to perfect my Australian accent almost immediately.
And it was just that for 3 hours.
That's 3 hours of that? Not even just a little token appearance
but
in the movie.
The thing is, he was next to an actual Aussie. Yeah, so we had an example of Rebel's accent, perfect, and then he would talk, and it would just be like, please make it stop. So
as a director, why would you do that? Because her accent's quite thick in Hollywood. She hasn't bothered dialing it down over there. Pure and legit.
A lot of questionable decisions in that movie. But yes.
Let's go through the list of the history of Australian accents in films.
They never get it right.
Because it is almost impossible to get right. Mm-hmm.
It always ends up being a cross between like a Kiwi accent and South African almost. So give us some examples.
Okay, so let's go way back to a classic, The Guns of Navajo.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a...
Hey, listen, it was big back in the day.
Who was in that?
A lot of people. Gregory Peck.
Yeah. Was this 1709, film?
Or? You two. It's in colour.
Sounds amazing.
It's a classic. Let's have a go. There's an Australian accent in Guns of Navajo.
You've got that bloody old fortress on top of that bloody cliff. Then you got the bloody cliff overhang. You can't even see the bloody cave, let alone the bloody guns. And anyway, we haven't got a bloody bomb big enough to smash that bloody rock. And that's the bloody truth, sir.
That's like bloody 17 great. Bloodies.
So he's just an English lord that's added the word bloody to the front of every one of his sentences.
That'll do.
Yeah, that'll do us. Bloody good accent I've got. Now let's go to the person you're not allowed to ever criticise ever, for some reason, Meryl Streep. Perfect Meryl Streep, who's always been perfect in everything she's ever done.
Thank you.
Which film?
Evil Angels. This was the story about the Chamberlain, the Azara Chamberlain disappearance all way back when. And once again, no Australian actresses available at the time. So we managed to get a hold of Meryl Streep playing Lindy Chamberlain.
Yep.
Take it away, Perfect Meryl.
Dingo in the tent. Dingo's got the baby! God, no, please, God, help. The dingo's got my baby!
Not bad.
That was terrible.
Better than John Lithgow. I would prefer her to play Rebel Wilson's father.
She can do anything. Meryl can do anything.
It might have been Meryl.
Could have
been
Meryl
John Lithgow playing Rebel Wilson's father.
How the levels.
She was criticised like her whole life for that performance. What does she say about it?
She's amazing.
Oh, she's perfect. You know,
she can't put a foot wrong.
So,
exactly.
Can we hear it one more time? Because she gets a free pass for this, and it is one of the worst of all time.
The dingo in the tent.
There's a dingo in the tent.
Dingo's got the baby! God, no, please, God, help. The dingo's got my baby!
Perfect.
Oh, I don't think it's too bad. I think it's pretty good.
You two. You've drunk the Meryl Kool-Aid, both of you.
100%. Okay. She's our queen.
Is she?
How dare you?
Is she playing the queen?
Yes.
That's not really her. That's not really Elizabeth. It's Meryl again.
Guys.
Simpsons.
I'm Meryl Streep.
Oh, well played.
Oh, The Simpsons.
Remember when The Simpsons did it?
Oh, when they called down to Australia.
The boot kicking.
Yeah, this is the Prime Minister.
Oh, that one.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey-spoony before.
Is that Hank Azaria?
Yeah. Nailed it.
Not bad, actually, that one. And luckily we've got the king of accents here. His name is Grant Denyer.
Oh.
And he can do a flawless accent from...
Kazakhstan.
Take it away.
Yeah, I like it very much. We had someone who came on... Hang on, wait. Okay, there's a story.
That's all you've got.
Wait.
One line.
We had someone who came on Family Feud who thought for years they misunderstood Survey Says.
Just get a Family Feud plug in.
Wait. Yes.
What time is it on, mate?
Okay, it's 8:30 and 6 every night, 6 nights a week. Tune in for All-Star Family Feud at 7:30 some weeks.
All right.
Someone came on Family Feud and they thought for years and years and years that when we were saying Survey Says that we were saying Sergey Says. So Sergey makes an appearance every now and then. Like, hey, look at the Family Feud. Tonight you win goat, okay? You don't take home cash or car, we give you goat.
Home of your culturally sensitive accents today for breakfast.
Boys, my husband recently had some nasal surgery. because he has always snored and he can't really breathe very well. And it was horrific. He went in there and had bones shaved and holes made bigger and it was really awful.
Was he did he have to used to get his sinuses drained every now and again?
He did that too. Yeah. And so worst patient ever. Like, I wanted to divorce him. You would think that he invented the concept of pain. Honestly, he was just such an asshole. I was like wearing cute outfits and I was bringing him meals and I was being really nice, which is really hard for me, as you know.
And
I was putting him before my needs.
Well done.
Guys,
good girl, I know, mate.
Right?
I know, mate.
Thank you. And he was being really awful. But when he would take his drugs, he'll be amazing.
He's a great guy.
Oh, my God. Like, he was my dream husband. So it was just this emotional roller coaster.
That Panadol Fort is strong stuff.
Oh, and mixed with the Endone.
Jeez.
He was making promises that I've held him to. I've filmed him.
It's starting to feel a little bit like Kathy Bates in Misery.
That's exactly what it is. Just add sequins and some applique and you're there.
Are you dosing up this man, drinky drink sort of stuff?
I could have grounded up some things. But anyway, he had the surgery and what this has happened is now things are now appearing out.
It's draining out.
Long-term snot that's been caught in his brain since he was five is just starting to appear. Great for the romance.
Did the doctor use the term long-term snot? Because I feel like that's a new one.
Definitely a medical term.
It does take a while to come out.
Also a doctor. Long-term snot.
And what comes out looks kind of like sometimes like a black steak, a liquid steak.
Things that you could donate to science. And so I took him for his, he was feeling a bit, you know, like he wasn't living his best life. He wanted to get a haircut because he had surgery and he felt gross. So I took him to get a haircut and I left him there because I had to drive him because he's a bit drugged up.
Right, gotcha.
And so he's sitting in the chair and I went away for half an hour and came back and he walked out and he goes, hey, like this.
Points to his hair.
But on his face, like, was a snot the size of like a 5-cent coin.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, Joel, did you look in the mirror?
Oh, no.
He's like, no, I was reading. I'm like, how long? Joel, look, and I held up my phone and he looked and he's like, and he sat there for 45 minutes while the barber, and it wasn't just a delicate little like Natalie Portman pear-shaped situation. It was like just that thing from Ghostbusters, like that.
Slimer,
And so he's like, I'm going to have to go back and apologize to the hairdresser. I'm like, no, you're out, go.
Make a run.
No, but he went.
Never go back.
So he went back, he walked in. And I watched from a distance, and he explained to the guy about this book.
Did he still have it on his
face?
Yes. Oh, that's great.
Because he was so high. And then he shook the guy's hand.
And we shook hands.
And then he walked out, and he goes, it's fine. He understood. I told him I had surgery. I'm like, babe, it's still there.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
Time now for the segment that is sweeping the nation.
When Mimi falls apart, New Year's Eve. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye. When you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic. That's entertainment.
For those of you keeping track, 3rd intro I've sung on today's show.
There's two live ones as well. There's also two ones that you made up.
I'm very good at live intros.
There's another one.
Okay. The Grammys are coming up. The 60th annual Grammy Awards are coming.
You know that the Grammys?
Get out. You're against dogs. Write that down.
What
he's against
about?
Harry Potter. And, he hates dogs and he hates the Grammys.
I just want to best hip hop single of the year. Just want to thank God. Without God, none of my music makes any sense.
Miley Cyrus.
Just want to thank God.
He's going to perform without John.
Even though my song was called Booty Drink Booty Slap Ass, I just want to thank God for hip hop.
According to an official Recording Academy press release, Miley. Thank you for that. What's your name?
Teabag.
Little Teabag?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Fantastic. They're going to perform one of Elton's classic hits. This is great.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Miley and Elton. That's going to be the campest thing of all time. I'm looking for a penis-shaped piano, guys, and I won't accept anything less. Now, in other big news, Justin Timberlake obviously performing in this year's in that thing. There's a concert with sport around it.
Yeah, there is.
I don't care about the sport. Half of the Super Bowl.
Do you mean the Super Bowl? Yeah.
NFL Super Bowl.
Why do they put the sport in the concert? I don't understand.
How annoying is it?
What's the point?
I think it goes longer than the game, though, doesn't it?
I don't even care.
I know,
I just want the concert. Justin Timberlake is performing. Now, obviously, this has brought up some acid flash. flashbacks of 2004 when he came on stage with Janet Jackson and accidentally exposed her nipple.
Release the unit.
Correct.
Which, and I always have a problem with that saying because he didn't release her nipple. She had a star tassel over her nipple.
Man, I've got them on now.
Exactly.
It's just what you do now. Right? I'm always prepared for something. You pulled your wife's boob out yesterday.
On the roller coaster. Yeah. Not at work. On the roller coaster, yeah.
just did it in joke. On the way to school, guys. Hey.
There was a camera that took a photo of it, but yes.
Fantastic. And Daily Telly are still looking for that. Justin has now spoken about this just yesterday in an interview about how he kind of feels about it now.
You've got that bloody old fortress on top of that bloody cliff.
That's not it. That's the Guns of Navajo.
Wow, is he doing an Aussie accent?
Okay. I wish I had a fancy callback for that, but I do not. Is it there?
No.
Oh, this is a great segment. Let's hear Justin's new song, though.
Oh, we can do that.
Oh, it's gritty.
Doesn't this just make you want to roll in petrol?
It's kind of dirty, but that's highly dangerous.
Doesn't it make you want to do that and then slam up against the glass and, like, slide down?
Yeah.
Is that just me?
That does sound like fun. Maybe go on a slip and slide. I'd go that far. What is that called?
Filthy.
That song's called Filthy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it is. And finally, a big happy birthday to Betty White. 96, you guys.
96.
She's a champion. Obviously, star of the Golden Girls, if you're wondering what this is.
No one needs to reset this.
This is not Justin Timberlake's new song, Blue Rinse. This is...
Come on, guys, sing it.
And if we threw a party...
Sing it, Ed.
I don't know the words.
It invited everyone new.
You two take it.
You will see the greatest gift would be from me. Right. And the card attached would say, thank filthy. You for being a friend.
Filthy. Where we go?
My favourite old person in the world.
Are you the only person on the planet that doesn't know those words?
Oh, I don't. Show of hands outside. How many people know the words to that song? There is only two others.
Very much.
Two thirds. That's a majority.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
At 8:14, yeah, it's time to play Alpha Bucks. $10,000 up for grabs. If only we had a proper professional game show host who could help us. Oh, my goodness, we do. Grant Daniel.
we scratched around to the bottom of the bin and look who we found.
And look who we found. But we dug you up, mate, and you are in charge of helping people win the $10,000. And who have you got for us today?
Christina from Castle Hill. Are you there?
Good morning. Hey.
Oh, you sound super excited.
Right,
are you?
Calm down.
Excited.
Lock it down. You know you're not supposed to be excited because then you stuff it up.
You don't want to throw yourself. You want to just try and breathe slowly and have a crack at this. We'd love you to win the cash. What would you do with it?
I've got to pay off all my afterpays from Christmas that I bought everyone's dumpers and Swiss. It's not fun when you're still playing.
We were talking about this yesterday, so you got sucked into the afterpay trap as well.
Oh, yeah.
How much? 100%. How much roughly, Christina?
I think I'm on the $7,000 mark. Ooh. Like, I went crazy.
Jeez.
But damn, those kids loved me for the presents I got them.
Sure.
Yeah, buying love.
Small price to pay.
How much does love cost so far? $7,000. Let's see if we can't get you the 10.
Let's see if we can reduce the financial carnage for you. Okay. So
please.
Christina from Castle Hill, you ready to play today, FM's Alpha Bucks?
I am so ready.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter M. Okay.
M.
For melon.
Okay.
For each question you get right, score $100 with a chance to win up to 10 grand. Okay. We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. Are you ready?
Okay.
The letter is M. Here we go.
M.
Name a type of pizza.
Margarita.
A watch brand.
Pass.
Type of wine.
Moscato.
A Disney movie.
Madagascar.
A planet.
Mars.
A female music artist.
Missy Elliott.
A cosmetics brand.
MAC.
A book title.
Me Before You.
Month of the year.
May.
90s TV show.
Made It First Sight.
Whoa! And a book
friend.
That's not even a 90s TV show. Okay. Married with Kids. Married with children.
So married
close.
With children. I'll say what I got it wrong anyway.
Hey, the judges have said.
Absolute epic effort. $700 is all yours, Christina. Nice
so
stuff.
Good.
Really,
thank
really well
you.
Done.
That's great.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well done, honey. That'll summed in. And Madagascar is DreamWorks, not.
Oh, damn it. Everything is Disney in my head.
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah, they got me.
There's a delightful website that I would like to see wiped off the planet.
Facebook?
Mumsnet.
All right.
Mumsnet.com makes Twitter look like a place to go and feel good about yourself.
So what is it supposed to be for? Mums getting together and discussing.
Oh, my God.
Raising children.
It is just women being savage. It is brutal. The women go there and they write things like, oh, I gave my kid organic pumpkin this morning. Do you think that's okay? So we go, how dare you give him pumpkin? You should be giving him protein.
Oh, right,
and it just becomes crazy.
Okay.
So very judgy.
So, well, the harshest judges of women are other women. And the harshest judges of mothers are other mothers. I'll tell you right now, blanket. And Mumsnet is just the jungle, you guys.
Right. Like, and so why would people go? So if I know that I'm going to get abused or if I'm going to get judged, why am I on there?
For validation.
I mean? Right, okay.
And in the hope that you get a bit of a pat on the back, me too, sister. But it is really me too, sister.
Okay.
And so a woman has gone on there and talked about how she's feeding her child, and she had to go on a day-long course and she needed to pump at work. So she needed to express milk.
Oh, right, okay.
And she put that down and said, but there was nowhere for her to express. And she feels like they should have given her somewhere to go.
Okay, sure.
And she popped that online and then the comments woman wrote, I don't think it's fair for you to pump in the office kitchen. Are you able to buy a manual pump and pump back to your car? That's how they all sound.
What?
No wonder they're on a forum. They're impossible to understand when they speak.
And another one wrote, I wouldn't express either in a public kitchen. I don't think it's reasonable for you to expect them to let you do that. Also, I get flamed. I wouldn't want to go to make a cup of coffee and see someone pumping milk from their breasts.
Oh, what?
In a kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh. What's problem?
Wrong? Yeah, I don't understand.
Look, 13:10:60, do you pump at work? Have you been given grief over it? Because I remember feeling like this when I gave birth to my second child, Odette. I was back on air 4 weeks after and I was having to go hide in a disabled toilet and pump.
That's not ideal.
Because the dudes around me couldn't handle it. Obviously, they don't work at this company anymore. No. We've had them removed. But
so you felt when you were a mother that the other people wouldn't allow you to do what you needed to do?
They openly expressed their disgust at me breastfeeding in the studio.
You're kidding.
No. And so now those people have kids and I know that their attitudes have changed, but they were young men back then.
Yeah, right.
And so I think this is definitely something officers need to accept, that if we want women in the workforce, we want them coming back and feeling like they can do what they need to do.
Did you say you were back 4 weeks after?
After a C-section.
That is very, very soon after. Mm. Wow.
And I got postnatal after that. Who'd have thought?
They may as well have done an outside broadcast from the actual birth.
Oh, Joel. Don't think they didn't
try. They didn't know.
Don't think. I actually did a show and then went and gave birth.
No.
Legit. I did a show and then gave birth the same day. Oh, mate, it was a Wild Wild West.
I told you to stop working in North Korean radio, but you won't listen to me.
We do want to wade in here. And I also, honest to God, I want to hear from people who have a problem with this in public. Do you take issue with women pumping in public?
And breastfeeding or just pumping?
Let's go breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding or pumping?
Breastfeeding or pumping.
Okay.
I want to hear the other side. Legit.
Yeah, make it a fair debate.
I really want to understand why you would have an issue with it.
13:10:60, breastfeeding in public, expressing in public and at work.
Yeah.
If you're against it or if you're for it or maybe you've had your own situation with it. 13:10:60.
Yeah.
We are talking about breastfeeding or expressing milk at work because, Em, you've brought a website to my attention, which my wife, we've got a 17-week-old baby, so we're right into knowing about baby stuff. And this is not a website we've come across called mumsnet.com, which is, I believe, meant to be a place where mums go and sort of help each other, but it seems to be a place where people go and
IHateMyself.com.
And they have a go at each other.
Pretty much, It's not good. It's mums judging other mums,
right,
really.
Okay.
And, yeah, a woman said that she had to go to a work, like a presentation thing, went for a day, she needed to express and she didn't have a place. And then the comments underneath, lots of people like, yeah, I need someone to express. There's lots of support. But there was also lots of people going, I don't think it's appropriate for you to express your milk at work.
Right.
This seems to be the same person that keeps saying that.
Yeah,
her name's Judy and she works in finance. All right.
Okay. It's all right to be called Judy and be in finance.
No, that's not
the problem. No, it's not. Okay. It's also not okay for that.
But all we chucked it out there because, look, this is the thing that comes, and you're going to learn this now. And Tiff will learn it. It's a very contentious topic. you know.
It's a hard one to win. Look, my wife's got a website and a YouTube channel called Mummy Time TV. And whenever
is
they.
Is this just where we plug our partners? Pretty businesses? Much.
Yeah. TFXO.com.
Okay. Okay.
You spoke about your husband's snot before. We're allowed to talk about our wives' websites, if that's okay. And whenever it's raised, it is so divisive and it's a very hard one to win because everyone comes out with a really aggressive angle.
Because it's assumed that it's easy. And breastfeeding for me was the hardest thing I've ever done. Because it doesn't lat. If you don't lat, you assume that the birds appear like the start of Grease where Sandy's getting dressed and the baby goes on the boob and it's all fine.
No.
And then you're made to feel bad if you go to formula because breast is best. But it's like, mate, this is Em's rule for breastfeeding. If the kid's fed, we're all good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
However you do it, if it's breastfeeding, great. If it's formula, great. Belinda in Winston Hills, hello.
Hello.
Talk to me. You pumped at work?
I've got three kids. I have pumped with every single one of them. My first year I was back at work after 4 and 6 weeks, which is pure insanity, but you understand.
Yeah, I get it, doll.
Yeah.
Holes are still leaking, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's not the most ideal situation, but when you've got to go back to work, I wanted to breastfeed as much as I could with all three of my kids. So I've pumped in an office where I've been working. I've pumped on the floor in a conference room. I've pumped in my car in between sessions. So I've done it in pretty much everywhere that you can pump, really.
Belinda, did anyone ever have a go? Did anyone ever say anything to you? Did you experience any people saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that, or any kind of like a blowback from it?
Look, I've never had anyone specifically say to my face that they would, we're a little uncomfortable. I have had some funny looks. I've had quite a few people that have kind of gone, oh, well, what's the point? You've gone back to work. Why don't you go on formula? But no one's kind of straight out come and said to me, oh, well, you know, generally the formula comments were more, well, it'd be easier for you.
Oh, would it be easy for me?
So you do get the feeling of disapproval.
Just so we're clear, everyone.
Thing then goes in.
Yeah, but also just so you're clear, we don't get a choice. Our boobs are full and we've got to get that milk out. Yeah. Like, it's not like we're choosing it to do it to be controversial.
Tiff wakes up sometimes and in the night she wakes up.
There's a spot in the bed?
And she goes, she'll just have to, like, run out of the room and then I can just hear, neat, 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 as she's on her breastfeeding.
Amber in St. Mary's. Now, we did put the call out because I'm so interested to hear about people who don't think it's appropriate. Hi, Amber.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling. Don't be nervous. Everyone's opinion is welcome.
I'm a first-time mum. My son turns 1 next month. Ever since before I had him, I found it uncomfortable. During my whole pregnancy, I didn't like it. I didn't like pumping, didn't breastfeeding. It just made me feel uncomfortable. I tried to breastfeed my son for a month. He wouldn't go on, so I was expressing. But as soon as I had to go back to work, I stopped the formula. I find people in my office, and I find it really odd. I'd rather them go to the toilet and do it in a way.
What is it that you find inappropriate?
Why should they do it?
What exactly is it that worries you? Like, what part of it?
I just find it something very intimate and personal, like that you have that with your child. I don't think you're feeding your child, not that you're expressing for their milk, but I just find it something that needs to be made in enclosed. Even in my house, I was doing it in a room. I wasn't doing it in front of anyone. That's just my personal opinion. I just don't like it. Like, even if I go to family functions, my sister's present, my sister's just had a baby and she breastfeeds, and I say, I'm just going to go out. I'm not going to watch you. I just don't like it.
Your sister.
Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah. Amber.
Do you find that sometimes, though, that obviously when a kid wants to eat, they often don't give you the warning. They just want to eat right now. Yeah. So you often... Do you not find you just don't have a choice but just to feed it right then, right now? Because they don't understand the concept of time.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm very controlling and I have a routine. So my son, I was sort of by the book, this is when you're getting fed, you know, this is your time frame, and would express and make sure I had enough time to do that. I understand people, you know, unexplained circumstances and good feelings and you just need to express them, but I would run off to a toilet.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you, everyone who called.
World's most expensive cities list has come out today. So the way they work this out, Em and Grant, is that they take, all right, this is about average what you get paid in these cities, and then this is relative to that what everything costs.
So living expenses.
Living expenses. But there's one that's always roughly the same, and that's a McDonald's value meal.
Oh,
It's part of one of the indicators.
Okay.
No, don't fix that on that. The point of that is that they know how to make it as if it's always affordable.
The same margin.
Yeah, same margin everywhere. You know what I mean?
So is there a value meal that's more expensive in like somewhere else? So they change it.
Yeah, but then it's relative to what you get paid. So it doesn't, in real terms, it's not more expensive.
Relative to the average wage.
Okay, roll out some countries. I will have definitely heard of them.
I'm going to roll out some cities, and you're going to tell me where they are. So Sydney is the 32nd.
Australia.
Here we go.
Well, that's one for him. Sydney is the 32nd most expensive city in the world. What about Washington?
America.
Well played. Yeah, there's a city here
Are you playing for keeps over here?
Always. Everything's playing for keeps, Tanya. Everything.
Tanya's 2-0 down.
Yeah, shut up.
Let's move at number 28. There's a city called Arse.
What?
There's a place called Arse.
Yeah, it's in southern somewhere. That's for sure.
Doesn't need a lot of sunlight. It's in Denmark.
Scotland.
No, Denmark.
Denmark.
Yeah.
Denmark.
If anyone, 1360,
there are Arse people for sure.
If anyone's been to Arse in Denmark, I'd love to spread
it. I live in Arse. I love Arse. Arse is my favourite place.
It's the arsehole of the world.
Look at that. I see Arse.
Go.
Okay. In the 15th position is Nassau.
Japan.
No. Good guess, though. Go on, Dennis. You're way off on this.
Taiwan?
No, it's the Bahamas.
Oh, okay. So close.
Which is meant to be a tax haven.
Yeah, I was like, isn't that where I have my secret accounts?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, no.
Oh.
Let's get back to us.
I love us.
What about...
oh, that's going to be really... Do not make a promo out of that, you guys.
You got your headline, everybody.
In position...
Is that the name of your new tour?
It's the name of my autobiography.
Reykjavik in position 7.
Russia.
No.
Germany.
No. Iceland. It's the capital of Iceland.
Yeah, sorry.
Come on, you two.
It's close.
And the number one most expensive city to live in the world. There's four cities from Switzerland in the top 10.
So they've got a nice living load.
Something's going on over there, isn't it? Like, it costs a lot to live there, Denya, but it's like...
A very high standard of living.
Have you ever been there?
No.
They've got the best level of education as well.
Yep, and great medical health care.
Everything's good.
Everything's supported.
You two know
it's
nothing.
A country that looks after its people.
Just say they got the clocks with the little cuckoo in it. That's all that you two actually know about Switzerland.
How dare you? And I'm actually the ambassador for Switzerland.
Are you? Yes. What's the capital?
Reykjavik.
Hell yeah.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.